Amy, what do you have coming up on Democracy Now! This morning?
Well, today, the first day of African American History Month,
I think
we're going to play the debate between Malcolm X and James Baldwin.
Ooh.
On civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
That should be interesting. It is something that we've played here a lot in the past. We're also going to take it on the issue of the militarization of space. And we're going to be talking with some people in the military and those who are deeply concerned about, you know, we put a lot of money into the space program, and that's seen as separate from putting money into the Pentagon. But it's all merging as one when you have national missile defense. And we're going to take a look at that with people like Carl Grossman, who did the video Nukes in Space, and who for a very long time has been watching this issue. But also, I see that Newsday did this piece on, well, what I'm still reeling from yesterday, and that is Juan's on-air announcement that he is resigning from Pacifica, from Democracy Now!. Juan, a longtime co-host of Democracy Now!, Juan Gonzalez, the New York Daily News columnist. It's on page A15. Of Newsday, and it says call for boycott at WBAI, and the article says in a dramatic on-air resignation yesterday, journalist Juan Gonzalez lashed out at the ownership and management of embattled listener sponsor WBAI and called for a nationwide fundraising boycott of the station and its owners, the Pacifica Foundation. And then it quotes Juan, who read from his resignation letter, saying, "The Pacifica board has been hijacked by a small clique that has more in common with corporate vultures than with working class Americans." Gonzalez said in his resignation letter, which he read during the 9 a.m. broadcast of Democracy Now!. Gonzalez has co-hosted the show since its debut 5 years ago. Pacifica, which owns 5 stations across the country, was established, quote, "to promote freedom of the press and serve as a forum for various viewpoints, and to promote cultural diversity," according to its 1946 founding statement. The Newsday piece goes on to say Gonzalez, who's also a columnist for the Daily News, charged that Pacifica had illegally changed its own bylaws, tried to quash dissent, and is preparing to try to sell one of its stations. Speaking off the air, Gonzalez also supported co-host Amy Goodman, who he said has been the target of a, quote, "reprehensible campaign of personal slanders and unjustified attacks." The Newsday piece says he's joined with several groups nationwide seeking to oust the national board and called for, quote, "a total boycott of any funds for Pacifica until the board resigns." Pacifica's Washington, D.C. station, WPFW, refused to play most of Gonzalez's remarks. And the piece ends by saying Pacifica Executive Director Bessie Wash did not return a call seeking comment. Pacifica's website carried a press release yesterday defending itself against what it called, quote, "inflammatory and inaccurate claims made by Goodman in recent months."
Well, Amy, I'm glad you brought this up. Perhaps we can have a conversation about it. Are you supporting a total boycott of, I assume that means a total boycott of the upcoming fundraiser?
Well, I read the article because I'm still reeling from losing Juan on the show, at least for now. And that's for me tremendous loss, because Juan and I have worked together for this last 5 years. But before that, for many years, I've just tremendously admired his work. He has a book of his columns called Roll Down Your Window, Stories of a Forgotten America. He's one of the founders of the Young Lords, and his latest book is Harvest of Empire, The History of Latinos in America.
Mm-hmm.
But his both bringing together his journalism over the years and his activism and fight for racial and social and economic justice is just one I've always tremendously admired. And I am just really sad right now that that he won't be, at least for the time being, on Democracy Now! As co-host, because he really built that show in a very big way. And
you say for the time being, you obviously expect him back.
Well, I very much hope that he will be back.
But do you expect him back?
I very much hope he'll be back.
Okay, what are we talking about? Again, quote, "a total boycott of any funds for Pacifica." That would imply to me that Juan wants the fundraiser that begins a week from yesterday here to be totally boycotted.
Well, I think that you should invite Juan on and talk to him
about
it.
Well, I certainly will be happy to do that, but I mean, I'm really asking now if you support a total boycott of our fund drive.
Well, Juan is the person who put that forward. I obviously stayed on the show.
Right.
And that's Juan's opinion. But I encourage you to invite Juan on as a guest to,
okay.
Well, to
could
talk
I ask
about
you,
this.
Could I ask you to respond to this question? We have a fund drive upcoming. The presumption is, as things stand now, this is the reason I asked the question, that we will be doing that drive during this period of time. If you are indicating to me that you intend to boycott, I don't see a reason for us participating together in a fund drive.
Oh, well, Clayton, I don't know if you realize this, but I have been fundraising for all
I
the stations.
I do realize it. I understand that. But
no,
I mean,
just let me...
You do that nationally at 9 o'clock, do you not?
No, throughout the day. Right now, just to let people know, BAI, because of the troubles here, has put off the fundraiser till next week, but the fundraising at the other four stations has been going on now for a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
and every day I'm fundraising on different stations. So that's, you know, that's my statement. That's where I stand. I have been doing fundraising. But here at WBAI, that's the final station that will be doing fundraising next week. What I look forward to is seeing the listeners coming in to WBAI, getting a chance to talk with them. We always hang out in the tally room and talk to listeners. It's a time when the whole community comes together. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing listeners here back in the station at WBAI.
Well, that's a very clever way of avoiding my question. You're saying you're looking forward to seeing listeners and hanging out? I mean, that
sounds... Oh, no,
sounds,
no.
I'm asking you...
I will be here for the fundraiser.
Okay,
I will
that's
be,
what I'm trying to...
Sure,
you will participate in the fundraiser because I think we ought to make it clear that those who do not wish to... I will just make this my statement. Those who do not wish to participate actively in the fundraiser... won't be welcome here from 6 to 9. I intend to participate fully, and I intend to participate fully, as I've stated before. I have raised money in every drive that we've had since I've been here. I have never put a dime of what has been raised into my pocket. I raise money for this radio station and for no other purpose. And to hear people say that there should be a total boycott, to hear people say that... they're not going to give a dime because they have been encouraged by broadcasters here to do so, it seems to me, the initiation of the ruin of this station. And I will say to you very bluntly, if that is continued, I will accept the invitation that has been proffered to me to visit those who will be in a position to consider selling this radio station. I frankly am sick of the ad hominem attacks, 2 hours of which were delivered upon me last night and upon the general manager, in direct violation, incidentally, of what some choose to call a gag rule, which seems to me would be more comprehensive. We have been asked not to discuss the internal matters that have to do particularly with personnel issues here. That rule was violated last night for a couple of hours for the specific purpose of attacking me personally on the air along with the general manager. So I'm very intrigued to see this comment about the slanders and attacks that have been made against you because it speaks to me of a very considerable double standard.
What happened last night?
One of our broadcasters chose to make the statement on the air, I hated Clayton then and I hate him now. I consider remarks like that inflammatory, particularly as you will note, given some of the calls we've been receiving lately, I want to make it clear, as I said to Robert some time ago, I am not suggesting that these are sentiments of yours. I am suggesting, however, that we seem to be creating an atmosphere, one way or another, in which people seem to feel free to make these sorts of attacks. The violation of the rule... to the sense that I have, and you've used this word a number of times, the sense I have that we cannot heal, that isn't going to happen. And if we cannot heal, I think Other avenues have to be explored.
Oh, I've never said we cannot heal. I think
you have said we can
biggest,
heal.
Yeah.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, I'm the biggest optimist of all.
You certainly are.
I do believe that when everyone is rehired and the bannings are lifted,
that
we can
and
heal.
At that point, I suppose these ad hominem attacks upon me, which you have never commented on by using my name at any rate. Let me finish.
Clayton,
attacks
that I have never made.
If I may finish.
That's the most important operative
I'm
word
I'm saying
here.
That
it's
what is operative
I have
for
never
me,
made.
Operative for me, Amy, is your contention that you work here with a co-host, which I assume you regard as a potted plant, because you have never said specifically that the remarks directed at a person who works with you at this station are personal attacks. You have never said that. And what I'm suggesting to you is when I listen to attacks made in this way, and I listen also to the fact that I can count support here at the station on one hand, all right? And what that means to me is that there is a collusive effort going on that I think we need to address, because if, in fact, people are going to say, on the one hand, their strategy is not to support the radio station, to collapse our fund drive, which I think obviously people don't realize what sort of trouble they're putting. I'm saying even before the fund drive, the station, the board of Pacifica, the executive board and others should consider selling the radio station. Simple as that. I mean, if people feel that it is appropriate to make these attacks, and they continue, and I'll make this point as well, even after you have said on the air, in a very general sense, we shouldn't call names or we shouldn't label people in this way, even after that, they've continued. I didn't get 20 letters all of last year. I have 60 now in the past 2 weeks. Only 9 of them could be read on the air. In fact, you might want to just take a look at that one, if you will. It's an example of what is going on. Now, what I'm saying is, if people talk about healing, maybe we have to talk about what there is to be healed. And it's all well and good to say you want this, but you often don't consider you want this at the expense of what?
Well, I am not for selling the station. I deeply believe in protecting the five
Pacifica
stations.
Yeah, I deeply believe in that too, but not in an atmosphere in which would you do me the courtesy of taking a look at that letter?
Yeah.
All right. What I'm saying is I have been here for the time I am here for this radio station, not for any personal aggrandizement and not for any careerism, and certainly not at my age. And to hear that people continue, even against I will say this, what I feel was your very severe effort to curtail this when it was happening, but it continues to happen. So where can we go? If even after you say to people, look, it's inappropriate to do this, people who worship you, literally, Amy, who now say, I don't care what she says, I'm going to continue these attacks. I'm going to continue these racist assaults. And again, Robert, let us go back to your point. I have never suggested that Amy Goodman is a racist. But I am saying that an atmosphere has been created at this station where people feel apparently perfectly free to make racist remarks, to make sexist remarks, and to savage individuals here in a way that I will tell you, I can't recall anyway. Robert, we go back some years in this shop, off and on, over a period of time. This is the 5th radio station I've worked at in the New York Met area. I have never heard the kind of commentary, nor have I read the sort of letters that are coming in. And I think an atmosphere has been poisoned to the extent that I don't know if recovery is possible. And all I'm saying is if we continue to move in that direction, and I think we will, quite frankly, that we cannot expect much else, but that the Board of Pacifica is going to say, hey, we're sick of it, we're tired of it, you're not going to be able to function as a unified body or even anything close to that, because it's never been a unified body. And I first broadcast here in 1967 with no unified body here then, and I don't know if there's ever been one since. But the fact is, to keep saying everything is going to be okay, and to discover that the assaults continue, I don't know there's any reason for them not to sell the station, quite frankly.
Well, Robert, you want to say something?
Just a point of information. Actually, the urging of the sale of the station was made before any of the current crisis at WBAI by board member Michael Palmer, who was brought in by Mary Frances Berry, who had the inadvertent release of a very explicit and detailed memorandum recommending the sale of WBAI. So we didn't start the fire here. Second, I think that Amy's commitment to WBAI and fundraising can be reflected in the books and income of Pacifica through the great work that she's done on Wake Up Call and in Democracy Now. In fact, we are living in the house that was built by Amy Goodman, Bernard White, Sharon Harper, and Janice K. Bryant.
Please, what have the rest of us done, Bob? Robert, and what have the rest of us been doing here?
Well, I have raised millions of dollars with the last 7 years of writing all the fundraising letters that have always exceeded expectations for this radio station.
Take the tone of this down. Robert, I hope we're through shouting.
This is WBAI Speech Radio.
Are we through shouting?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
I
just want to defend the good work people here have done, including Amy Goodman and yourself.
No. Don't tag that on at this point. What I'm saying here is that everybody who participates in the drive, it is my assumption, participates and does the very best work they can. What bothers me in a collective is the need to single people out, as you have just done. The fact is that we sat in a staff meeting some months ago and were told by the then general manager that an individual had saved this radio station. And people sat there thinking, the work we did just didn't matter.
I don't know to which you're referring.
Well, you know who the previous general manager is.
No, I mean an individual. Say, which individual do you mean?
We were told that an individual at the station had raised 13% of the total amount of the amount of the monies raised in the drive. Well, the fact is that individual has 17%. Point something or other of the airtime, and also draws on a national audience. The point is whether or not the figures.
But that's
are
also reflected in the Pacifica National Income.
What I'm saying to you, whether or not it reflects that, Robert,
and it's a higher percentage.
I think it is inappropriate to set staff members against one another by suggesting that somebody's work in that regard is more important than somebody else's. There are people here, as you know, who are positioned on the air, at times it's very difficult for them to raise money. It doesn't mean that they don't work as hard as they can to do so.
Oh, no, I believe in a communitarian level of respect for everyone who contributes in any way to the radio station. And in fact, that is why in covering events and addressing the serious fissures that have existed here, that it is important to confront reality. We cannot be an ostrich and deny a news story that's all around the world in the papers and everything today.
I'm not suggesting that.
And our listeners and the support that we and this community have enjoyed is based on the listeners' faith, belief, and credibility, not on the repetition of any institutionally imposed mantra, as it were, but because we are able to intelligently face the truth and integrate that in a way that there can be respect for people who disagree.
Okay, Robert, how are we respecting anything when we have someone broadcasting on our air calling for a total boycott of any funds presumably raised during our fund drive? I mean, how is that supportive of anything? I did not suggest, incidentally, that Amy Goodman, as you are, I think you're trying to say now, has been slack in the past in her efforts. I asked the question. And I asked the question because the drive we have upcoming is crucial to the survival of this radio station. I am simply asking, if I am going to be working with people who are saying, in effect, well, I believe in the total boycott, I believe we shouldn't raise funds for the station, I would like to know that.
That is an opinion that is, in my estimation, permissible to be expressed along with other opinions. I believe that we have intelligent listeners. I believe that they are able to make ethical decisions about supporting the station, and I believe that as they have, they will support the station. But if you take away that freedom of intelligent integration of diverse ideas, then that makes us no different from any other radio station.
You consider calling for a total boycott of our fund drive part of an intelligent discourse? I mean, Robert, you know as well as I do, and again, I say to you, we met many, many years ago at this radio station. Times are very different, but in effect, we both know that there's been turmoil stacked on top of turmoil at the station for many, many years.
That's why many listen.
Okay, and I'm saying to you that all of that taken into consideration, we are at a point in time now where it is critical for us to have a drive beginning next week that is successful. And I am suggesting to you that if part of the intelligent discourse is to have people trying to convince the listeners that they shouldn't participate, that they shouldn't contribute money, the end product of which would be, it seems to me, that the drive would fail. If the drive fails, I want to suggest to you and to other and to the listeners that we are finished.
Well, the difficulties did not begin and
I'm
end
not
with
talking
Juan
about
Gonzalez
when they,
or the resignation of one person.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Where they began, it seems to me, is entirely beside the point of what is going to happen now.
Well, I think it is possible to express that someone who was given radio birth, growth, and provided a tremendous service to this radio station may, out of ethical reasons, come to the conclusion that he, as an intelligent person, may do. And I believe that even what may seem a dissident opinion can come from love for this radio station. I believe it is important for that to be able to be expressed, as well as the inclusionist or approach that allows us to frankly address problems we have so that they may be solved, and to say that even though there are difficulties here, we have it within our collective will and power to save, maintain, improve, and bring back on track important issues about this radio station. And I think our listeners are intelligent enough to deal with that. And if we treat them like children and censor or otherwise insult their... That was hypothetical. It began with the word is. If we were to do that, they would lose respect for us, and then we would have no support.
Okay, Robert, I hear you calling for us to play baseball without a catcher. Okay? I mean, what I hear you saying is that we should go on the ball field to play the Yankees in the World Series, and we will agree to play them with 8 players. We won't have a catcher.
Well, actually, there are 8 people missing from WBAI from the banning.
Well, you're avoiding, I think, the question. If you want to continue to do that, then I'm saying to you that if you have somebody here, any individual saying to the listeners, do not contribute to the station, stage a, quote, total boycott, not selectively look at this, that, and the other, consider some things, a total boycott. I'm saying if that is successful at any level, whatever, what we are going to discover, and I'm going to be very blunt about it. I mean, given what I heard on this air last night, I am absolutely convinced that there can never be a staff here again, except in name only. And given
what is this, chicken liver?
No. So, are we going to talk to each other or not?
I believe I'm staff.
What do you
at
mean
least
by,
as of,
what
up
do you
to
mean?
This moment.
What do you mean by chicken liver, Robert?
Well, you said that there's no staff here.
I'm
part of staff.
You,
are
yeah.
you?
Well, what I'm saying to you, and I think you know what I'm talking about, I said there is a staff in name only. A staff, to me, obviously represents something very different.
I think
than
you,
it does
you
for
might
you.
Be meaning a monolith rather than a collection of intelligent individuals united by a mutual love of this radio station.
Yeah, well, we don't have that.
A monolith will not save the station, but intelligent diversity will.
Nobody is calling for a monolith. I am saying to you, to suggest that we have a group of people here unified by their mutual love for the station is preposterous. It's simply absurd. You know that isn't true.
Preposterous?
Yes,
it's mandatory.
No, it isn't mandatory because that isn't what is occurring. You have people here saying, I don't want you to be here. When someone goes on this air and says of a person who is presumably part of that unified group brought together by their love of the station, goes on the air and says, I hated him then, and I hate him now, particularly in light of what has been going on here recently. And I say, incidentally, we're not skirting the edge because in the early hours of this morning, there was a specific, deliberate, and conscious violation of something that I have heard you attempt. And again, as I said to you earlier, if I mistook your message earlier this morning, certainly I offer an apology for that. But what I'm saying to you, while many of us here have attempted to keep the level of discussion on balance, at least, and we see that another participant in our radio station feels it is perfectly appropriate to violate the rule. And incidentally, when I said, well, perhaps this is something we'll have to discuss with the general manager, the answer given to me by this individual, by this broadcaster, was, and I quote as fully as I can, do you think I give a flying F about her? Okay, now, you cannot convince me that we are talking about a staff unified by a mutual love of the station. I wish that were true. In fact, I can remember other times here at WBAI when there was strife, when there were battles going on. But this is the nadir, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I was not privy to either on-air or off-air comments to which you refer. I did not hear either the broadcast or what you report as a private conversation. I do happen to believe in the principle of opposition to personal, gratuitous personal attack, but I do believe, assert, and insist that we must not be turned into ostriches and put our heads in the sand and look away from something which everyone else in the world is looking at. We are intelligent enough to handle complexity.
I don't
and,
think anybody
and to do otherwise would result in a metaphorical lobotomy of both the people who broadcast and of the audience.
Robert, I haven't seen anybody here recently, at any rate, stick their head in the sand. Head in the sand.
Well,
I am saying to you, look, we are agreed on many points. Where we disagree is on the issue of whether or not it is appropriate at this point, everything considered, for the Board of Pacifica to be encouraged to sell the radio station.
Well, that happened before. That happened before current events at WBAI.
Let's not talk about what happened
before. The board recommended that a summer ago.
Let's talk about now. I am saying that increasingly, my own feeling is that that can indeed be appropriate.
All right. I'll just summarize by saying that there is a chill in the air here among broadcasters because people are uncertain about the creative freedom that they have to address and aggress difficult thoughts and challenges. And that has an effect on the amount of confidence and ability of people to speak directly, faithfully, truthfully to the listeners. Certainly there should not be interpersonal abuse. Certainly there should not be a personal attack. That, I'm using that as a legal term. But we have to have the freedom to use our wit and intelligence to be... One of my philosophies of broadcast is... you'll remember this, Clayton, from the old days. It used to be written on the walls. Never lie on the air.
Okay.
And another of my principles of broadcast is you must always speak the truth because the enemy could be and hopefully is listening. So what you say has to be good enough to convince people who disagree with you. And a creative person, a broadcaster, must have that freedom. There has to be a level of trust between the front end, the back end, the bureaucratic end. Everyone has to have some level of faith and trust that they are not working for individuals, but working for the principle, which is WBAI.
Well, Robert, I must tell you, even as I hear you say that, I think we may be the ostriches, if anything else, because I think you're... set of principles on this goes back many, many years and through many administrations here and many periods of turmoil. And I absolutely do accept, without qualification of any kind, your assertion that our job here is to serve a public as a radio station, okay? I don't have a problem with that. And yeah. I think, I hope you know that. I mean, in the other periods of time I've been here, I've always felt that it is the station, not any individuals. I mean, we have friendships and coteries of gatherings of folks of whatever reason. But the fact is, ultimately, I have always believed that this is a collective and that whenever there is stress, what we're called upon to do is see something glowing in the dark that says WBAI.
On that, I certainly agree.
Okay. Now, what I'm suggesting to you is that we have seen of the sort of disruption that continued, the divide widening and deepening, for the simple reason that we refuse to have any real exchange about how that goes on. It doesn't happen at the staff meetings. It doesn't happen at the gatherings at the Union Hall. It simply doesn't happen. And the reason I think we have reached this point, more than anything else, is because of the distrust that issues from that kind of inability, really, to communicate with us. Now, let me ask you to trust me on something.
Okay.
Why don't we take until our next schedule, which would be about 8:45, why don't we talk to some of our listeners? Since both of us are here, I think that might be a good idea.
This is WBAI in New York, Cat Herding Radio.
Okay. WBAI, you're on the air. Clayton Riley and Robert Knight here with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't hear the whole broadcast, but I caught a good piece of the last, 10 minutes. I wanted to know something. In relationship to the non-discussion of the issue, I was wondering why you guys had discussed it, and also... I do feel that if we're going to solve this situation, we are going to have to take both poles into consideration. There are going to be some who are totally against and totally for. The middle ground will be found by heightening the contradictions. If we don't heighten the contradictions, we will not get to this middle ground. We will always be at these poles. And I will hang up so that you guys can discuss that.
Excellent, excellent point. I would put it another way. In a boiling ocean, you have to go deep to get to the cool water.
Good point. Well said, Robert. I have maintained for many, many weeks during this period of stress at the station, I don't know how many times I've said this, and I've lost track. I said, let's lower the temperature so that we can actually talk to one another. One, incidentally, about concerns that were going on here a long time ago. I mean, we can go back a year ago. We had very, very serious concerns at this radio station that at the time were not addressed. People simply said, well, we've asked that they be addressed, but they weren't addressed. I'll give you an example. Man stands, or sits, I guess, to be more accurate, at a staff meeting and says, I guess I'm going to have to start bringing a gun in here. All right, at the point I, thought it was appropriate to address this issue with the general manager, at that time, I got no response whatever. It was as though we'll just shrug our shoulders and let this go. Again, I think there were other sores, there were other fissures that were active, and we had a situation where we could not address these issues. Now, I know we're skirting the edge here as well, but I think only appropriate because of the clear and, I believe, deliberate violation of what has been passed along to us by management, and I'm saying...
We're basically a British broadcaster. We're under a D notice, and we can't say what it is we can't say.
Yeah, very good. But what I am saying, and I will continue to say, is that I think when a violation of the rules takes place, and I would say this about you. Mm. If I had been listening to that program, and these ad hominem attacks were being made against Robert Knight, I would have absolutely the same response.
It is inappropriate to do that.
And I would also say, Robert, whatever is going to come out of it, I think it's appropriate for you to come on the air and say what you feel needs to be said in defense of yourself.
Yes. With respect to our ancestors, the people who built this show, Wake Up Call, Bernard Charan-Janis and all the others, Errol and so on, Bert Harbin, et cetera, Rosalie Huffman, everybody
right.
teed up.
Sure.
I preface this with respect to them and with the wish for their ability to continue to take part. But I'm about to engage in an unexpected level of frankness with you. And that is, we here occupying this airspace right now are in a burning crucible.
Indeed.
Of disagreements. There are disagreements that you and I have had and will have. And yet, each day I drag my butt into work.
That's right.
So do you, and so does the courageous Amy Goodman, so does Mark, and everyone who has the chance at some continuity with this radio station. If we can make it happen here, it can happen everywhere. It's a very difficult process, and yet every once in a while, in the pits of my despair, I feel encouragement, you know, when I see points of progress. And that progress, that understanding, can only happen with freedom. I mean, go back to Carmen, go back to Sting. If you love somebody, set them free, and then let them have the chance to find that resolution.
Well, I could hardly disagree with you on that statement, but again, the problem I'm having is, and I will go back to something we said, the first time we started getting some, I thought, very ugly racist remarks on air, because as perhaps we... There is a device that is used at other radio stations. I think we don't use here on principle because we expect to be able to trust our listeners. That's the way I felt about that particular device that is used.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, when that happened, I made it very clear that I was appreciative of Amy Goodman's response. What bothers me, however, Robert, that her response, clear and unequivocal as it was, seemed to have no effect because these things continued. As I said yesterday, I'm up to my 60th letter now. Only 9 of them could be read on the air.
Which alphabet is that?
This is an example. And I mean, this is as mild as many of them get. What I'm suggesting to is, we have to make a determination about where this is coming from or what is happening here that would, some folks might say, pull the covers off, or what would release these particular passions from our listeners, who would seem to me would say, okay...
This letter basically says, screw you,
okay,
strong
okay,
letter
okay,
to follow.
Okay. Robert, I'm not amused, frankly. I mean... I suppose you are because that letter wasn't sent to you.
I laugh because of familiarity.
Yeah.
I get that kind of mail sometimes
fine.
As well.
Again, my point here is that we have got to discover, before we discover too many other things, what has been released here. what is beginning to come out? Because as I say to you, of the 60 letters I've received in the past 2 weeks, this is relatively mild.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is.
And the point is wondering, where have we acquired this level of sentiment? Along what way mm-hmm. have we traveled to produce this?
That's what makes this challenge, the challenge to you, to me, to Amy, anybody who is on this show or any other show, that is what makes a true test of what we're made of, because that letter reflects a passion that may have come from a love that curdled, and it is bitter. That letter that you just showed me, a very brief letter that was like that. It is up to us to find a way to accommodate and to evolve beyond that inadequate expression of passion.
Let's take another call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm really enjoying the show today. I think that it's an exception to somehow you're being very honest and open, and that's refreshing. I have been listening for only 10 minutes. And you know about the 60 letters that you have been receiving, I myself have a feeling of frustration. I'm trying to understand what's going on. But every time you're saying that we don't talk about other people's workplace, we don't talk about your workplace, what are we talking about here? When you expect listeners' participation, we really need to know what's going on. And this gag rule and censorship, that might be, this frustration might explain the 60 letters that you have been referring to. And my other point is that I'm very happy that Robert Knight is speaking. On Wednesday, I tried to call. I couldn't get through. But I thought maybe he has been intimidated as well. But finally, something is coming out.
Let me put it this way. I have dodged more bullets than that guy in the movie The Matrix.
Right. But I'm very happy that you're speaking. You know, this is healthy. We need to hear about it. And this airspace, you know, other people have worked hard for it. And it's not fair to, not discuss other people's rights.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, I think a fundamental area of disagreement that also has never been discussed is the sense. And Robert, again, let's go back to the time when we met, when the station, I think, had only just moved to 8th Avenue. I mean, shortly after that, when you were doing news there, and. The one thing I think
no,
has
I
never been
news
said,
until about 79 or 80.
Okay. But during that period, yeah. What had never set in place in, and I again went back to 67th with Charlie Hobson doing some filming, what had never set into place at that time, and I think only recently has asserted itself, is a sense of orthodoxy, a sense that there are unchanging institutions within the station. And the sense that some things here have to be forever. I don't think it is telling tales out of school to say that there had reached a point in parts of the station, not in all, where people felt nothing here will ever be changed. We are it, and that's it. Nobody else is welcome here, and any disruption of what we do and how we do it and the way we relate to one another is simply not going to be tolerated.
Well,
now, I'm saying to you that
I certainly
that
don't believe
is
that. The very nature of my job in news is eternal change.
And, okay. That's you. I'm not assigning this to you, Robert. I'm saying that somewhere along the line, there was asserted in our workplace a sense of orthodoxy among some people. And I think when you are talking about a progressive radio station, we are also talking about, as you have just stated in your work, the continuing sense of how things change because the world around us is changing. We report things in different ways. We use different sources. We make adjustments to the way information is received and dispersed because we understand not that things have a value simply because they change, but they have a value because they interact with us as we are changing. But the fact that people may feel, and we hear this in a lot of the responses, I want us to go back to the way we were. I want my radio station back again. I think we have to gauge whether people feel there will ever be any changes in their radio station.
Well, that orthodoxy that you refer to occurred at a time when the station, in its makeup and personnel, was much more culturally monolithic than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
WBAI is a reflection of not only America, but the world, or North America, or the United States of North America, if you ask anyone mm-hmm. else who speaks Spanish in this hemisphere, 75% of whom do. And what we are, we're the cantina milk bar in the farthest reaches of space, because this is a port of alien encounter. I don't mean like undocumented workers. I mean cultures that are different from each other, mm-hmm. Attempting to find comity under the temptation of xenophobia.
Okay, you made mention of
something. That's C-O-M-I-T-Y, not E-D-Y.
I do understand, Reverend. The time early on in the history of BAI, when there was a sense, I don't know if we'd call it orthodoxy because of the people involved, there was certainly a sense of a notion anyway, a style of progressive political encounter, engagement, and activity. It took a couple of people, in my judgment, to challenge and, in a sense, overcome that. One of them was a woman named Dolores Costello, who one made in going to Attica.
She was certainly an evolutionary step.
Absolutely, but not only because of the step in forming Third World Communications Vanguard, mm-hmm. but she set a tone, I think, for many people, and particularly for women here. This is a woman who took a microphone and a recorder to Attica and was there as those events, which were world-shaking at the time. Let us remember.
Unforgettable problem.
All right. Later, I think if there was ever a person in us, we're all really feeling this, I think, as much as anything else. The leadership of Samori Marksman here, in my judgment, set a tone, established a way of getting a staff of people to work even through their disharmonies on mm-hmm. particular or specific issues. That is very difficult to do. I didn't know until after Samori had died that he had been in the military. And when I found this out, I said, oh, this is why he was saying some of the things mm-hmm. he was saying to me when he brought me here. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd just like to reiterate, as far as the staff is concerned, as far as the listeners are concerned, as far as the producers are concerned, mm-hmm. only one person brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
That was Samori Marksman. Mm-hmm. And Samori Marksman brought me here knowing what kind of broadcaster I was,
mm-hmm.
knowing, I think, perhaps as well as anybody in this business knows, what sort of personality I would bring to the station.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a commitment to him in the two conversations we had in regard to my coming to the station, one of which lasted nearly 3 hours, that there were certain things we would pursue together in terms of what I would be expected to do. Now, we know that in losing Samori Marksman, we lost a sort of vitality that didn't have as much to do with him as it had to do with the rest of us and the way he had affected us.
Yes. Samori was too big to be contained in one body, and he is reflected in all of us, even though there are still a couple of people who insist on slandering the dead and giving
indeed.
Pain to his family, one of them who is very prominent in that behavior. But this... You know, if you think you get it bad, you should hear some of the things that certain people say about some more.
Oh, I've seen the letters. I've mm-hmm. seen them. Let's take another call. BAI, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Get a little closer to the phone, if you will.
Okay, very good.
Good, that
good
sounds
morning.
Good.
I hope both you gentlemen hang in there, as well as Amy. I am a subscriber many times over, and I'm going to talk about what is going to be happening next week. I was very concerned about that situation. The thing that I'm focusing on, I want to know about these bylaws. I want to know what's being changed. The reason why I subscribe is because not for I liked the individuals, all the individuals that were on the radio station, and I am very much looking forward to change. However, the fundamental basis of Pacifica cannot change. This is the only station that is actually broadcasting news and telling people about what's going on.
I agree.
In fact, I hope that this same struggle happens, permeates throughout, okay, the communication media. And we, as listeners, need to make sure that Lou, I believe his name is Lou Grant?
Lou Hill.
Lou Hill.
And Lou Schweitzer.
That Lou Hill's concepts stay in place and start to permeate throughout. Because if we can't get Pacifica in place, where the community is the bulk of who decides who hires and who fires, then we're going to have the same situation that is happening outside sooner or later. So I'm the kind of person, I want to know now what's going on. See, because I don't want to put my money in a situation that is not what I want.
May I say in response to what you've just said,
sure.
I don't think there is any effort being made, certainly not within our borders, and I mean by that 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, to withhold information.
I'm focusing on is the changing of the bylaws.
Okay, if you will let me finish. I'm saying that information, which you want, obviously, about these changes, I don't feel can be deliberately withheld from you. That's all I'm saying. That the information that you require in that regard, it is, in my view, not something that can be withheld for you. If it didn't arrive yesterday, it doesn't mean that it won't arrive in the very near future.
But you see, that's not what I said to you. I said that the bylaws that were originally in place,
mm-hmm,
by Lou Hill should stand, and it was a concept of community
control.
So you're
against change then?
No, exactly, because I'm in a democracy. I live in a democracy.
And a democracy never changes anything.
Yes, it does change, but it changes by concerted effort, by concerted vote, by collective vote.
Robert, would you agree that the board is making a concerted effort in that regard?
There are members of the board who are proposing and have drafted John Murdoch, who have proposed radical revisions of procedures,
yeah, mm-hmm,
that,
yeah,
that would place fundamental changes in this institution,
exactly,
on a fast track among a very few people who may not have had enough input from the community in making those decisions.
May I address something to both of you? Is that a proposal, or has it been set in stone?
Well most of the decisions made by the board.
I can't hear both of you. Okay, Robert, could we hear Robert on that? Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, it doesn't have to be set in stone. All it takes is a pebble, because of the current makeup of the board, the way executive sessions are used for limited input to decisions made by the body, and because of a certain imbalance between community and commercial and or corporate interests that are currently represented.
Mm-hmm.
We must have the freedom to address that, so that as navigators, mm-hmm, of this ship, that listing of this ship to the right or to the commercial or to the this or that can be corrected.
Well, you can say corrected, mm-hmm, but again, what about the option that they have simply to sell the radio station, which they could have done 6 months ago, they could have done a year ago.
Which they proposed, what, nearly 18 months ago.
But they didn't do it, Robert. It didn't happen.
That's because there would, in the event that attempt were made, be innumerable amicus interventions.
Mm-hmm.
There would be regulatory challenges and such.
Yeah.
But there have been proposals, among them made by Mary Frances Berry,
that
this station be traded in,
yeah,
for some minor league station somewhere.
Don't stop with her.
Yeah.
Don't stop with her. You can add my name to the list, because I have felt on numerous occasions recently that given the absolute what word do I want to use that is comfortable here? Disability that we are experiencing as a staff of people here, one could reasonably and I think sincerely say to the Board of Pacifica, as it is currently constituted, there may be some wisdom in the option of selling the radio
station. I don't see why you say that. I quite disagree. I listen to and have the good fortune to take part in it to the extraordinary newscast done by Jose Santiago, Andrea Sears, all the rest of the people, including myself, who work in the newsroom. I hear excellent programs of artistic creativity. I'm hearing good work being done here.
Well, but that's not the point.
So I don't think that the staff is dysfunctional, as Michael Palmer said in his station sale memorandum
to
the board.
Well, I perhaps would be closer to agreement with you there. I'm not talking. I think we're talking across purposes here, for the sense. I'm not saying that people here don't do good work. That's not the point I'm making. I am saying that that good work is being compromised in many instances, because people are unable to do that work because of the atmosphere that has been created, the atmosphere that is expanding. The atmosphere, it seems to me, very clearly represents an interruption. For example, and I don't know that there's something world-shattering, but the fact is we are discussing an issue that precludes our news report this week. Let us say there was some world-shattering news.
Oh, hell, Clayton, we're making news
always,
this morning.
Always. But, I mean, my point here is that when it reaches that stage where people are saying, we are going to talk about this, we are going to talk about this, we don't care what you have prepared, we don't care how often Robert Knight has been to the well to get the news that other people are not going to broadcast, we don't care about that. We want to talk about the internal personnel matters. I'm agreeing with you to this sense, and I've said this to you before, I don't mind saying it on the air. Robert Knight has not merely been a newsman. Robert Knight has been a great newsman, and I will continue to say that at your very best, you compete with anybody who does this kind of work.
Thank you.
Now, what I'm saying to you is that I want you to have every opportunity imaginable to do that. And it bothers me.
Well,
that
a newsroom
people...
key would help.
Oh, my goodness. Let us take another call before we go completely batty here. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to. Let me turn my radio down. Hang on.
Yeah, please do. Be our guest. I know. Give him a moment. That's a big radio, man.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been a long-time BAI listener.
Okay.
And I really support the station.
Wonderful.
I want you to know that I feel sometimes there's been an adversarial kind of atmosphere that's been created. I think that you have a lot of good points, but also you try to...
Okay, look,
make a
I'm
very...
not going to indulge you in any attacks
okay, so
on
let's
me,
not
okay?
Talk about that.
Say
let's
goodbye.
Let's
say
go,
goodbye.
Let's say goodbye to the station.
Say goodbye. Again, and I mean this... For all of you, there are two of us here, three of us, four of us, I might say. If
you
I
do not wish to count the elevator boy?
If anybody is calling to make an attack on Robert Knight, on Mark Linton, on Anthony Sloan, Clayton Riley, we're moving past that to the next call, okay? So just be advised, if your call is to say, I got to attack you on some point, we're moving past that. Okay. BAI, you're on the
no
air.
No more ad feminem attacks.
Yeah, no more
hominem,
attacks.
Hominem feminine. That's very good, Ruffler. You're really quick in the morning. Hello.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Amy Goodman.
She's not here.
Good
right
morning,
now.
Clayton
yes.
And Robert.
We'll pass your greeting
good
to
morning.
Amy along.
Okay, listen. Contradictions are good. There's two types, however. One is contradictions itself, the other is antagonistic contradictions. And as long as there's antagonistic contradictions, I don't see much being resolved with the positive contradictions that you might have that could throw the whole situation forward.
Well, look, if I can respond to that, look.
I'd like Robert to respond to that.
Okay, should I just be quiet then and act like the proverbial potted plant?
No, but can
please,
I speak to
please,
Robert?
Clarify,
of course.
Clarify your thesis. I do want to respond, but I'm not sure that I'm yet totally understanding what you're saying. Please re-express
okay.
it.
Okay. I'm glad I, you know, got you to that point. You know, I'm a listener. Oh. I've been over there. I've answered phone calls and all that stuff. And I'll tell you, this is quite reminiscent of when my mother and father argued and I was a little boy and couldn't say a damn thing
to intercede. The spirit, the joy, and everything that I got out of this radio program is fantastic. It seems like a microcosm of the beginning of fascism.
Are you going to address something that Robert can answer, or are you just going to keep talking?
I'm talking to Robert.
But he's not getting a chance to say anything. We got to get out of here in about a minute and a half. Maybe we could give Robert an opportunity to respond.
You're not. I'm talking to him. You're hogging. You're upstairs.
This is insane. I'm not saying a thing.
I oppose fascism.
That's my
Yeah, I oppose fascism too, and I mean, you were doing the talking, my friend. Robert was not getting a chance to respond. That was my point. And we're simply saying that at this point, as we approach 8:55, because like good little guys that we are, we like to adhere to the rule.
Boy, we gotta get spanked.
Get out of here at 8:55 because. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, sometimes Anthony Sloan, because he is a gracious soul, will say, take another 30 seconds or
take
so.
Take another 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Robert, what I'm saying is that, again, where we find ourselves, and incidentally, I'm very pleased to have this opportunity for us to talk.
Likewise.
I mean, we moved through some things here. But, I mean, what do you do when somebody is saying, I want to address this question to Robert, and the question goes on for another minute and a half, you don't get a chance to say anything. I don't know how, how to function in that
sphere. Could you repeat the question?
Very good. Okay, we got 1 minute to have one more phone call, I think. BAI, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
That's me. Sorry. Just taking off the radio.
Oh, no. Laura. No. No. Turn that radio down.
Sorry, in a corporate apartment, and everything's kind of tiny.
Okay,
I've been listening to WBAI for the last couple of weeks since we've been in New York, and I'm really glad to hear that you guys are talking this morning. Now, I know that the talking doesn't solve anything right now, but when that gentleman had just called and he was trying to talk to Robert, I understand that, you know, Clayton, you want to get on and get things going. But
I wanted Robert to have a chance to answer him.
Mm-hmm, and I understand that. But one of the things that concerns me in listening to this radio station is the atmosphere of bullying that I seem to hear every morning. Can you guys comment on that?
No, we can't. I'm not going to comment on it, and I think it's just absolutely absurd.
My comment is,
to keep
shut up. There is no bullying here.
Again and again. Here. What have I got here?
Thank you, Robert.
Okay,
you understand my point.
May I inform the listeners how I am being... Oh.
He explains.
You know, I heard a guy on the street once say to a guy, shut up, shut up, I asked you a question. Actually, I heard that on the street. I have been remiss. I've got to do this. God, I just feel terrible. I wonder if I can get... Robert, you may be able to help me with this. Are you doing news tomorrow?
No. Tomorrow's not a day.
And you don't engineer tomorrow. I have been so remiss. Harold, I just feel so bad, man. I was to do a wake-up call for Kawand and Rara, and I missed the 8 o'clock time to do this. I do apologize, and certainly I am going to get to them. I will not forget again. We just got a little bit caught up here this morning. Anyhow, Clayton Riley here in the morning, Robert Knight.
Hey, I'm Robert
again.
Knight. When Samori first asked me to do this job, he asked me to do it for 2 weeks, and fortunately, I don't yet know which 2 weeks he meant, and so unless somebody knows something I don't, I'll be back next week.
Talking about the 2 weeks at end of 2009. Yeah, those 2 weeks.
Out of here.
Hey, up and out.
Good night, everybody.
Do we have a tune? Do we have a tune to breathe with, okay, as we say when we leave, most days anyway, give it some thought.